Hello, everyone. I think that I realized that my microphone was beeping, which means that it was being muted. And so I don't have any way of getting notices on my phone as where I'm connected to my camera and my microphone that people weren't hearing me. So I'm assuming that you weren't, and I'm assuming that this fresh start is good. And so I will learn to get better at this technically. I would, like I don't blame everything on the enemy, but I do know the enemy doesn't want you to enter into personal revival that's perpetual, that's sustainable. And so he likes to play games, but you know what? He's not, he does, he can't intimidate Jesus, and Jesus lives in us, right? So often we get intimidated by the devil, but it's always fun when I find myself in a situation where I feel intimidated, and Jesus, the Jesus who lives in me, the Jesus who is revival, the one who lives through me, and I'll hear Jesus speak in me, speak to me, in me, and say, Chuck, I don't get intimidated. And I'm reminded that Jesus doesn't get intimidated. And because we're one, the scripture says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's Colossians 3:3. Think about that. You, the old self, the old independent, fallen self, that old self that was under the condemnation of sin, that self died. And your new life is a life that's hidden with Christ in God. That I have Jesus' relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. I have his walk with God. That's a stunning, stunning reality. Now, we'll talk about that more over the weeks and months to come. But it's so cool to hear Jesus say things to me like that, going, saying, Chuck, I don't get intimidated by this. I don't get intimidated by anything. And I know that when he's saying that to me, he's not saying that just because he wants me to be impressed with the fact he doesn't get intimidated. He's inviting me because we've become one. He's my life. And he's inviting me. I have an opportunity by faith to surrender. He's inviting me to simply sink into him and thank him for that reality in my life that we don't get intimidated. Join to him, he doesn't get intimidated. Therefore, I don't get intimidated. In my weaknesses, strength is made perfect. Now, I just used an illustration that we'll use a lot of examples of in the months to come. The word, I think it's in Romans chapter 13 where it says, put on Christ. There's a place, several places in the New Testament, like in Colossians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 4, about putting on the new self. The words put on, those two words, literally in the original language, is to sink into. It's an expression of surrender, not an expression of effort. Like putting on, terrible translation. It's like, okay, I'm going to try to not be intimidated because Jesus doesn't get intimidated. That's what he's saying. To put on is to sink into, surrender to, okay, Jesus, you're my life. You don't get intimidated. I'm just going to sink into that. Yes to that. And thank you. Thank you. That's what faith sounds like. Thank you, Lord. And then I find that when I do that, the Jesus who doesn't get intimidated imparts or allows me to share in who he is and how he thinks and how he feels. And I find that I'm not intimidated anymore either because I'm now living by him, not just trying to put on Christ and live for him. So that's not what I was, in my failed attempt to do the original broadcast. I wasn't going to tell that story, but we're going to hear a lot of stories like that over the months to come because I want this to be very practical. My heart is, after walking with the Lord all these years, is to give you Babu words. Babu is Swahili for grandfather, and that is my grandfather name to my grandchildren is Babu, and all my great nephews also call me Babu. And so this place in the Lord where I'm at, this place is, I'm a Babu, I'm a grandfather. And so having walked this out for so many years, I just sort of yak about Jesus. I just tell stories like Babus do, and I'll share scripture and tell stories. Remind you again that I'm grateful for revivals, quote revivals, when there's like this Holy Spirit bomb that gets dropped on a college campus or someplace else like Brownsville or Toronto, any of those places. And we can go to those places and dip our bill into those things and drink from those things. But those movements have always sort of faded in the end. I'm grateful for them. Thank God for them. But the scripture makes it very clear that every Christian is born into the reality of revival. They may not know it. They may not see it. They may not know how to sink into it. They may not know how to reveal it. But every Christian is born again into what we call revival. Because revival, again, is just a restoration to life, a restoration to normal life, but normal life from God's perspective. And normal life from God's perspective is the life that Jesus lives. So a phrase that we're going to use a lot over the months to come is the phrase, in Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. Let me read some familiar verses to you. So I'm trusting that you're able to hear now. It's going well. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone, that covers a lot of people, no matter where you are, where you've been, what you've done, where you've come from, what you know, what you don't know, as a believer, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, we'll reference that verse a lot more in the future. This is Ephesians chapter 2. This is that great chapter that speaks of being seated in heavenly places in Christ, but I love what verse 10 says. For we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. Now think about that. The way that you were created, the way you were made to be a new creation, is that you were placed into the stuff of Jesus, and you became one with the stuff of Jesus. You were, one person puts it this way, you were woven into the fabric of his existence. If that's true, then he's also woven in the fabric of your existence. You're in Christ, and because you've been placed into the very life of Christ, he's been placed into your life. So you're walking in this union that the scripture talks about. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that we are one spirit with him. There's a place in 1 John chapter 4, verse 13 that says, it's either verse 13 or verse 17, it says, as he is in this world, so also are you. So we've been made one with Christ so that we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. And so what Jesus is capable of, because you're in him, you've been placed into his life and his story so that he can live out his life and his story through your life and your life story. And so what he's capable of, you're capable of. You're a co-heir with Christ. Stunning. And so when I talk about personal revival, John chapter 7, Jesus promised if anyone was thirsty, they would come to him and drink. Out of their innermost being would flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water flow out of persons. And so what I want you to not feel left out about revival because you don't live on a particular college campus or you missed the Brownsville thing or the Welch revival, the Shantung revival, whatever it might be. You were born again by being placed into Christ. Jesus is the revival. The manifestation of Christ's likeness is revival. You really can have a breakthrough, have an encounter with the Lord that brings you a breakthrough, and you break through into a place called encounter, where you live in perpetual encounter, where you live in perpetual personal revival. And now that can certainly impact others to step into revival too. It does, and it will. if their heart's combustible, as we mentioned yesterday, if they're open, if they're hungry, if they're desperate to step into the more. But again, revival is about you and Jesus. And so catch a vision of having hope that whatever your Christian life is like, there's a much more that Jesus wants you to experience. Much more. And so every day of the days we do this, we'll do this again tomorrow and the next day, we're going to just take our time. We're going to keep birthing hope into you, you know, and I'm going to keep yakking, you know, about this life in Christ, and hopefully walk you into your own personal breakthrough so that you can experience a life that moves from glory to glory on a daily basis. Okay? So, if this sounds hopeful to you, encouraging to you, then I encourage you just to keep hanging in and joining us. You know, there's only one normal in this fallen world, and that's Jesus. He's the truth, he said. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the life. Jesus is normal. What's truth is normal. Anything that's not truth is false. It's not normal. And we live in a very abnormal, fallen world, and abnormal things happen that wouldn't have happened if it weren't for the fall. There's a real enemy. There's stuff that goes on. There's warfare. But as long as you're abiding in Christ, you can abide in the normality of his life. He who is the truth, and that truth will not only set you free, but keep you free no matter what you walk through in this fallen world. Jesus is the normal. And so our prayer is that all of us will step into that more and more so we experience the normality of the life that Jesus lives through our daily circumstances, going from glory to glory. Okay? Well, God bless and love you so much.